Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Jordan is on best. Harper's on Miller.
They play together, they believe. And Caris LeVert is cold.
LeVert, back in. Speed.
Oh, he's a one-man wrecking crew.
Holiday, shot clock down to six. Finds Warren.
Welcome to another edition of the Indy Cornrows podcast. This is your host, Mark Schindler. As always, before we get started today, if you haven't already, please be sure to rate and review us over on Apple Podcasts. And of course, read us at Indy Cornrows. Caitlin just wrote a great profile of Rick Carlisle, some of his plays that she really liked in Dallas that could fit what the Pacers might be doing moving forward. To talk about Rick Carlisle and just some Pacer stuff in general, I'm psyched to be joined by our frontline Indiana correspondent, Dave Searle. Dave, how are you doing today?
You know, you're down in the South and you're complaining about the humidity, but I'm telling you, it is just as humid up here in Indiana. I mowed the lawn yesterday and it was like somebody had dunked me in a pool full of salt water. It was it's pretty bad up here, so I don't think that you are missing too much.
In for a rude awakening when I get back tomorrow, right?
What's that?
I said in for a rude awakening when I get back tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, I know. It's just not going to get any better. I wrote a little bit today and it was not pleasant.
Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to it. I'm excited to go back home, but so it's an 11-hour drive back and then I'll be home. Even so, if I do a straight shot tomorrow, I could take a break in the middle and get a hotel. I don't really want to. I'd rather just do it all in one day, but we'll see what my dog thinks because he's with me. But then also, I have to move out of my apartment by the 2nd of July and I haven't started yet. So ideally, I do it all tomorrow and I have one day off before I get to go unpack my apartment.
It's funny how, though, in the gas stations on the way back, they have all the five-hour energy drinks and all this sort of stuff. And it's an entire industry built on desperation to get home faster,
yep.
to not be where you are and just stay awake. So you could, if you're driving a truck, you get the job done faster. Or if you are on a road trip, just, I don't want to be here. So I will give you more money so I can leave.
I'm feeling an IV drip of Red Bull tomorrow is kind of where I'm at. But, we'll figure out when we get there. It's all about safety, right?
But hit a Whataburger on your way back.
I've never been. Good. I've heard it's good, but I'll have to try it. Dave, obviously, if you were unaware, Rick Carlisle got hired to come back to coach the Indiana Pacers. I know you are pretty, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you're pretty excited about the hire. What was your reaction when it happened? Because for me, I was definitely surprised. I was not expecting Rick to come back. But it's where are you at with how are things gone down so far?
Well, if you look at the coaching search from the beginning, there was no indication that Rick Carlisle would be a serious candidate. You always know that a couple of good coaches might get fired, and they're going with a veteran coach, so you figure it's probably a coach that got fired from somewhere else. Didn't really know that much about Rick Carlisle being a real serious candidate, so when he sprung loose, obviously that was kind of the first thing that I ended up thinking about. But as the playoffs went along and a lot of coaches that I didn't kind of expect might have their jobs up for grabs, and you saw, the opportunity to coach Zion is open, and then the opportunity to maybe coach Giannis might be open and things of that nature. As those more and more of those started to open up, when Rick Carlisle became a candidate, it's kind of he's probably going to go for maybe a slightly better opportunity. So I didn't really think that much about it, but of course the connection was there. I also wondered about whether or not they didn't leave on perfect terms from the Pacers. And I thought maybe I don't.
Did anybody from that team leave on perfect terms? It's a great question. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a long time. So, but it's, there was that factor. So like, I wanted it, but I just didn't really think about it that much. And so when that notification came out, that was the coaching candidate list was like Steve Clifford and Brian Shaw
and Terry
and
Stotts.
I had already talked myself into Stotts. And so I was like praying for Stotts basically is where I was at. So when that Carlisle hammer dropped, I was very happy. And I was just thinking about the fact that like, hey, I don't think I've seen anybody really down on this hiring. Maybe some people love it more than others, but have you seen anybody that's just like, oh, this is a bad call?
No, I don't think so. My only quibble, qualms, whatever you want to call it, that I had with it was that it seemed like they didn't do a super thorough search. But at the same point, it's like Rick Carlisle is going to be the best coach on the market by a long shot. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame coach, one of the best to ever do it. There still is like that thing in the back of my head where it's like, well, there were questions about how thorough the search was last time and they hired him over a phone call. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's the same, you know, good coach, good hire. So
that's kind of interesting because like there has been a point raised of like, you want to be able to go out and give as many people a chance as possible. And then Rick just got hired with a phone call. I do think that the Pacers deserve a little bit of an asterisk because it's like they already had him as a coach and the people who hired him still work there. So there's an unusual amount of familiarity with the franchise that I think does make it a little bit outside of like if they had hired Bjorkgren without any other interviews, it might be like, come on, like, we need to really kind of reexamine this process a little bit. It's a little bit different with the Pacers, I think, because of that familiarity. But like that also made him in this scenario kind of a dream candidate that seems sort of unusually good of a fit because you knew they were going to go with a veteran coach. After what happened with Bjorkgren, it would have been really, really, really hard to add a brand new coach. I mean, I think the fans would be against it immediately. I think that the players in the locker room might be like, are we seriously doing this again? I mean, there's a lot of reasons why there'd be a lot of doubt about that. So I'm fine with that decision, especially with the way that it ended up. But not only do you get a guy who won a title, he had a really good chance of winning a title with the franchise who hired him. I don't know if I've ever seen that before in any sport where, I mean, if it wasn't for the brawl, who knows what happens during that season. Has any other team had the ability to bring back a coach that almost won a title with them once? I mean, I can't, nothing comes to mind. If there is, there's maybe it's a handful of times. So, you know, knowing that you want to get a veteran coach, title winning in the past being one of the things that you'd really, really love to see. There's only a few coaches that ever won a title. And the fact that he has one is a very cool get for the Pacers. Almost got it in the Pacers uniform, familiar with Arity with the franchise. He's an offensive guru, most of all. I mean, he is definitely one of those coaches that can morph what he's doing to whatever his players are, which is a very, very big bonus and a very, very big feather in his cap. Those Detroit teams that he was good with those Pacers teams he was good with, it was defense first. But of course, he was the offensive coordinator for the finals team under Bird. He is really more of an offensive coach, so he can kind of hit it from any angle, which I think is a very important trait to be able to have in a coach. You're not worried about if we hire D'Antoni, we got to remake the roster a little bit. You know, I think he can kind of make anything work, really. It's just, you know, who else? I mean, other than like Popovich, like I'm not even joking. Like, who else would it be? I mean, like Spoelstra somehow becomes available. There really wasn't a lot of options that in this specific scenario would have worked better. Maybe a tiny bit of concern I've seen float out there of his point guards hate him. Like Jamal Tinsley hated him.
Well, hey, this team doesn't Rondo have a point guard, so it's fine.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, it's that particular thing lining up with the fact that Malcolm Brogdon seems to have hated every coach he played for. Both of those joining together on one roster is kind of a question mark. But I think the part of the thing about that is Malcolm Brogdon has kind of been publicly a little down on two consecutive coaches to a degree. I mean, he's backed up both publicly, but you know, it seems like there's a little bit more going on there.
Yeah.
People who are in the locker room and seem to be pretty tied in seem to keep pointing at Malcolm Brogdon a little bit. So I feel like pretty secure with that. But there comes a point where you get a third coach, a coach that's won a title, the coach has had a lot of success with a lot of franchises, and you butt heads with him for the third year in a row, that's pretty tough to do. So I think that that buys a pretty long runway of, if there's anything with Brogdon thinking like, I don't, this is the guy, it's like, I got to be quiet for like 2 years. Because I need to take a little bit of a step back on that and just buy into this, because there's not much thinking that it's going to get much better than this from the pedigree of a coach. And I think that I need to kind of really go all in on a coach for a couple of years before I raise any concerns. I don't want to go real hard on Brogdon, and I love Brogdon, and I hope he's a Pacer for the rest of his career. But the thing that kind of soothes that over a little bit for me, a concern of a kind of point guard unfriendly coach versus maybe kind of a demanding point guard, is the fact that this is the third year in a row. He's going to have to buy in for at least a couple of years, I think.
Yeah. No, I think there's a lot of credence there. I'm not really sure what to make of some of the stuff with that. I know it wasn't necessarily just coaching in Milwaukee, if I remember correctly. I don't think he had any issues with the coaching staff in Milwaukee, but I know there was a lot of other
with Jason
too.
Kidd. I mean,
yeah.
He butted that much with Bud, but yeah. There was kind of a, but you know what? Jason Kidd isn't a very good coach.
Yeah, or a good person. So, you know, there's that too. But
the Pacers needed to take a risk in the coaching seat in order to get a higher ceiling, you know, and Bjorken, we know about, he's all the things that he's had against coaching have been pretty valid, it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, he did have some problems with Coach Bud, and it was the fact that he thought he was better than Eric Bledsoe. And you know what? He was right. He's right. He is better than Eric Bledsoe, and he probably should have been playing more. So he hasn't been wrong yet. And I think that that is also a huge caveat that you have to put out there anytime you kind of have a little bit of a Malcolm Brogdon. Now, if he starts, you know, saying that Carlisle is an idiot, then you might think.
Yeah, that's problematic. I guess I would ask too, because we're both in agreement. I think it was a great hire, especially considering where the team is coming from. Considering what the trajectory looked like coming off the Bjorken firing, or not even the firing yet, just like how that season ended and how everything was looking after the last month, to turn around and have going into July like this is a lot better, believe it or not. I guess my first question, well, not first, but one of the questions I would ask is, how does this change your outlook of the team moving forward? Because it definitely has changed it for me, especially in the sense, like, I don't think I ever really thought the team was going to go in a full rebuild or anything, or try and go that way. But KP's always talked about, like, you know, we don't want to take a step backwards. We don't want to be in the middle. I think if there, like, I mean, clearly things were on the horizon, but I think this all but secures that there is going to be some kind of change. At least I hope so.
You think that this means that there will be a change? That's interesting to me.
I hope this is okay. So this is just my way of looking at it. I think if you are going to, and we'll talk about the dollar leakage too, I think if you're going to reportedly pay a coach 4 years, almost $30 million, so more than half the players on your roster, if you're not going to go out and make roster moves too, I think that's a problem. Or not even a problem, but it's just more like, well, that feels very like a half measure to me. I think, like, I guess I could understand the idea that you want to see this roster run back with Rick Carlisle, but at the same time too, I still just think that we have seen enough with Turbonis together to say, hey, why are we doing this a third time? You know, like, I would really like to actually see this team have a direction that they're bought into going into next year, instead of feeling very push-pull and not sure of, like, oh, are they going to break up at the trade deadline, or like, what is this going to look like? I don't know. I mean, where are you at with that? Has your opinion changed up at all with that?
I can see why you would say that. I think that, I say this all the time, I feel like fans just completely have amnesia that they wanted to trade Turner and had an agreement to trade Hayward, and then kind of Boston sort of pulled out a little bit and he ends up going to Charlotte. That was very public, unusually public for the Pacers. So
yeah,
it's definitely on their mind to kind of break up that core. The first thing that I thought with that extension was that they're definitely – not rebuilding. You know, in the postseason remarks, Pritchard did say, I mean, we don't know if we're going to get blown away or something. And, you know, if we get some crazy offer, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. That stuck in my ear a little bit more than usual, because, I mean, as a GM, you say anything's possible, but also, like, the Warriors are sitting on a pile of assets and want to win now. And so, you know, that kind of possibility of like, why don't you just fill out our starting lineup, Indiana? Here's everything we have, and we're going to go for it with hopefully Clay and Dre. And, you know, whatever you give us, I thought may have been out there, but I think that the Carlisle hiring just kind of puts a kibosh in that one. As far as making a trade goes, I'm still personally a true believer in that if this roster is fully healthy, that they're going to be very good. I really do think that that's going to happen. Now, with the raw talent that they have, are they going to be as good as they could be with, you know, Turbonis playing? I don't think so. That makes them a little bit less than some of their parts, but that's still pretty good, I think. And I do think that there might be a possibility of Carlisle's looking at film and he's thinking about it. It's like, no. What if we did this? Like, what if we ran horns every play? You know, like, just see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a ways to kind of make it work a little bit better. And I don't think it's a lock that they say we got to figure it out. But I do feel like there's just a lot of unusually good pieces that are just in the mix right now. And so obviously everybody's brain goes to, you know, let's get Ben Simmons or let's get Damian Lillard as what the Pacers might have a mentality there. Okay. But like, look at what they did just this past year. Harden moved, they got involved. You know, they end up getting LeVert out of it. We don't know what kind of mechanics are involved that end up the Pacers getting a nice, good improvement because of whatever team doesn't want to do whatever. You know, maybe there's a very solid perimeter player that maybe Portland doesn't want to take on right now because they need to rebuild. And so as part of that trade package, you know, Indiana ends up putting some draft capital or whatever in it, and then moves a guy in order to, you know, like getting that third party involvement in there and getting someone who's a really solid and good player right now that just doesn't fit the other team either because of lineup concerns or the direction of the team. Definitely something the Pacers could do. Who is that? I have no idea. But I could definitely see the Pacers getting in the mix of that kind of thing and end up getting a really good and solid player out of it. So that feels like a Pacers move right there. Getting in that mix, and then just the various kind of, you know, side and trade things. You never know when that kind of stuff happens too. So to me, honestly, the hiring of Rick Carlisle doesn't do anything as far as the likelihood of that, but I still continue to think that the most likely outcome of the offseason is some kind of trade.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Yeah, I think, I'm not anti-Turbonis. It's more just like,
they need to trade one eventually. I mean, yeah, there's a period.
Exactly. That's just how it feels. And it's,
yeah, they're never going to reach the full ceiling of their talent capital unless they have one of them in a piece that fits better. That's just the way that it is.
Yeah. And I tend to be somebody who'd rather just, if I know that there's something budding there, like I'd rather just get rid of it. Or that's the total wrong way to put it. I just mean like, if there's a move to be made, I would rather make it quicker instead of waiting. And part of that is like, maybe that's not the wrong, I mean, there's a reason I'm not in the front office, but I think that's just how I kind of look at it.
You know what, I diverge with you a little bit on that because I feel like both of those guys are very valuable for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have chosen camps. I don't know why.
I hate that it's a thing. They're both fantastic.
So
players.
Much so that simple. There's so many people that think the other guy is garbage and like
it's awful.
That's all ridiculous. But they're both good and they're both the kinds of players that a team might need to take the next level. And so I am fine with the Pacers being patient because I don't think it's like this crazy, like it will not work with these two guys together. I think it would can work enough that you can afford to be a little bit patient. And I would hate to see the Pacers spin one off for spare parts just to move forward. I disagree with you. I think that if they move into the season with both, just because they want to see what happens at the trade line and they think something better is going to come up, then I'm okay with that, honestly, from my perspective. I know how frustrating it would be to say, what if everybody's healthy again, but now everybody's kind of caught up in what's going to happen with this trade. I can see how that could be frustrating. And I think that maybe a little bit of motive, but not a serious extra incentive. I think that you still got to be patient because they're too good to kind of cast off for spare parts just to make a change,
I just want to know what the plan is moving into next year, which again, it's hard to say. Like you're not just going to have something concrete. I think, you know, given how KP operates, there's always stuff on the table. He's always thinking through things. And I appreciate that. It's more just like, I don't know, like last year, it was like one of the only things, and I was very much so a quote unquote Bjorkren defender early in the year when the team started to lose, because it was like, well, hey, you know, the vision of what the team was going to be coming in completely flip-flopped, you know, a month and a half into the year. So I don't know that, I guess that would be where my only hesitancy comes through with it, but I agree. You don't want to just SU guys off for spare parts. And, but I still think too, in terms of just looking at the bench overall, though, there definitely needs to be some consolidation considering how the, how free agency could play out. I have no idea how it's going to play out, which is part of the weirdness of it. But, there's a lot of stuff that we're going to be looking at this coming off season. Dave, I know you got to get out of here. Do you have any closing remarks or anything exciting coming up in your life right now that you want people to know about? We were going to talk about Fallout. We didn't get to talk about Fallout today. That's my bad.
What's that?
So we were going to talk about Fallout. We didn't get to talk about Fallout today. That's my bad.
No, that's there's more days and more podcasts coming true. Up. So we will be okay. I enjoyed talking a little bit with, Caitlin online today about possible Damian Lillard trade, and that was sort of an interesting hit. I'm really interested to see how that plays out for him, because I don't know if a player like that has hit the trade market in
a very long time. Because even Anthony Davis was, he had what, a year and a half left on his deal? Like not even.
Right. But of course he demanded LA right away and didn't have a lot of time left on the deal. I'm not aware that Damian Lillard has a no trade clause. I don't think he does.
He does not. I don't believe.
There's no real reason why he can't be traded to the Magic. You know, like he can't stop that from happening. And their GM, I don't think is necessarily the kind of guy that's going to, you know, who knows what that crazy guy is going to do.
All right.
But I'm interested to see how all of that plays out. But, you know, he's under contract for 4 more years. And, like, he has the kind of game that, I mean, he can play with anybody. I don't care. I mean, he can play with Steph. You know, like, there isn't anybody he can't play with. So I've never seen a guy at that age, at that quality, with that much contract left, with the kind of attitude where I don't care where I'm at as long as I'm winning, that could fit in with anybody. It's sort of like the Rick Carlisle of superstars a little bit, but like he'll just fit in it. It's a joke. He's a lot better than Rick Carlisle, I think, but what's the trade package?
Oh, I have no idea. Like I'll be honest. I kind of side with Caitlin here. Like, cause I just think I agree with you to an extent. Like I think if you can get a top 10 player, you just do it and figure out the rest. But at the same time too, I just think in terms of what you'd have to trade to get Dame to come here, like to actually make that deal happen. I just don't know what's left on the team to actually compete. And like, is that team really like Caitlin posted? Like, is that team better than Portland? I don't know that they are. I mean, maybe you could look at it and say, okay, well, Rick is here, you know? And again, this is to everyone listening. Of course, this is a bit, we're just talking about stuff that probably won't even happen.
The question is, should the Pacers do kind of literally any trade possible to get Damian Lillard? Not are the Pacers front runners for Damian Lillard?
I mean, personally, here's what I'd say. I lean more towards Caitlin, but also I would acknowledge that top 10 players just don't become available. For the most part, it's not possible to get them to, like, the Pacers rarely draft high enough to get Dame to come here. I would do it. I frankly would do it. And I know that the team would probably, it might not work, but at the same time, I think it's the type of thing where if you don't take the shot, then I think it's then what are we doing? You know,
but like he's under contract 4 more years. So if 2 years go by and he gets mad, you still have him under contract for 2 years to be able to kind of spin off into another trade. You could argue that Damian Lillard is just going to fall off a cliff, but he's not Russell Westbrook. I mean, he's not relying on athleticism. He's not relying on speed. He's just extremely skilled, and like he's going to age great, I think. And he's not, you know, breaking his back on defense either. So
that is for sure.
He's going to age great. I think he's going to be another player kind of like Chris Paul, where he's like, you know, he's still really, really good when he's in his mid-30s. And that opportunity to take 2 years of his prime and then spin him off for a great trade package 2 years later if you have to. I mean, it's really hard to find a downside on that. And, you know, like the Pacers are going to draft, you know, a couple more TJ Leafs, and, you know, if they have to spare a few of them in order to add to some players that, because I mean, obviously Damian Lillard is much better than Sabonis and Brogdon combined. I think that's a slam dunk easy. So then it's just mainly about like, is Aaron Holiday in the mix? You know, is a couple of late round firsts in the mix. That makes it pretty easy to me, but I think that there's a brain that you have when these scenarios come up. Like, do you bet the farm on James Harden? I might be like, whoa. He's going to be a free agent real soon, and the odds of him being happy in Indiana are pretty darn low. But
there are some clubs in Indiana. Who knows? You know,
Lillard's under contract for so long, and has the kind of personality where maybe only cares about winning, and is obviously okay with embracing a smaller market. That's just, and then the fact that you would be able to trade him and reverse it for another great trade package means that there's very little exposure here. And, you know, great basketball is great basketball. You get Lillard for 2 years and then trade him off for a package that's 75% of what you sent out. I mean,
well, yeah, and a great point too. Sorry, I don't mean to keep holding you, but this is a good conversation.
No, I got time. You're fine.
Okay,
you're fine.
Cool. I would add too, even like, let's say, okay, if it doesn't work out, then you finally get your chance to rebuild. Like if you really have to end up making that trade again, then yeah, I think I don't know. I'm very much so.
Sorry, not to cut you off, but someone might say, okay, you traded your picks to get Lillard, and then you're rebuilding and he's gone. So what do you do then? Because those high draft picks that you theoretically might get aren't going to be there anymore because you traded them away, which is somewhat of a valid point. But there is some assumption on my part that whoever trades for Lillard the second time is going to give you some future assets for it. And I think that those future assets ultimately will still be at least equivalent to what those picks would have been had you never made the trade at all. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think there's a lot of that makes a lot of sense to me. And even then, like you look at Houston, like they were totally gutted for draft capital, and then they trade Harden. And again, it's not perfect because you don't want to trade James Harden, but they got an insane amount of picks back. And now it's still not perfect. They're not in a great scenario, but it's a lot better than it looked even just a year and a half ago. So I think that's a really great point to bring up. But again, probably will not happen, but worth noting.
It's definitely not going to happen. You're not expecting it.
Yeah,
like, they might be in the trade. They might be like, blah, 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 something happens and CJ McCollum comes to the Pacers, you know, like something crazy like that, you know, being in the mix. That was something I'd put a much bigger bet on.
Yeah. I look forward to what this offseason could be like, because I do think it's going to be crazy in terms of, like, this feels, I know we say this kind of stuff every year, but to me, this feels very different than the last year or two, just with the amount, like, it's actually a really interesting point to bring up. Like, it feels like a lot of this, I wouldn't say that's all internal issues or locker room issues, but quite a few of these things have felt like it in some regards in the way that things have come out. It's not been on court issues. A lot of it has been, you know, disagreements with organizations and whatnot. And I wonder how much the pandemic has played into that. Like, I've thought about that just in my own relationships, and like my own friendships and everything. Like, Being in close proximity to people and having all this weirdness and not having it be like normal life, I wonder how much that actually plays into everything. That's probably me galaxy braining a little bit, but I do think there's something there. But yeah, I agree, man. If there's an opportunity to make it happen, but it probably won't. It's always fun to think about, though. Some good content for a midday pod.
That's right. It's always interesting the way people perceive the value of superstars, and it is always this, man, that guy is so good, he has such a huge impact on winning, but then when it comes to actually like putting your own team's assets into something, they're like, no, not TJ Warren, he's a deal breaker, you know.
Yeah.
As much as I love TJ Warren, it's interesting how it's basically like quarterbacks, you know, how much more valuable they are than the rest of the players in the league. Some of the absolute best players. It's wild how much of a difference they make.
Yeah, I completely agree, man. It's especially seeing, like, I mean, the James Harden deal was a ton of picks, but also like Drew Holiday. Part of that is because of, you know, Drew, like Giannis is re-signing if you do this. Like, that makes a big difference. But
yeah.
Well, Dave, this has been a blast, man. Do you have anything exciting come up? I know I already asked it, but now I get the chance to ask again. You got anything exciting coming up you want people to know about?
Not really. Looking forward to vacation. I'm going to trade places with you in Alabama here in a couple weeks.
Is it really vacation in Alabama? No, just kidding. It's actually pretty wonderful down here. It's not like, it's not quite like you envision. I'm sure there are sections that are, but I've enjoyed my time in Tuscaloosa. I'm definitely looking forward to being back up north, though. It is, I'm ready. They inject it into my veins.
We're definitely heading straight for the beach and then leaving immediately.
That's certainly a way to do it. Well, Dave, this was a blast, man. To everyone listening, thank you for listening. And most importantly, have a good rest of your day.